traced her course to the time of the day, which she prolonged for hours while reading various texts. Directly across on the opposite wall hung a photograph of Gregor from the time of his military service. It was a picture of him as a lieutenant, as he, smiling and wide free, with his sword, demanding respect for bearing and youth. The door to the hall was ajar, and since the door to the apartment was also open, one could see out into the landing of the apartment and the start of the staircase going down. "Now," said Gregor, well aware that he was the only one who kept his composure, "I'll get dressed right away, pack up the collection of samples, and set off. You'll allow me to set out now, will you not? You see, Mr. Manager, I'm not pig-headed, and I'm happy to work. Travelling is exhausting, but I couldn't live without it. Where are you going, Mr. Manager? To the office, really? Will you report everything truthfully? A person can be incapable of work momentarily, but that's precisely the best time to remember the earlier achievements and to consider that later, after the obstacles have been shoved aside, that the person will work all the more eagerly and intensely. I'm really so indebted to Mr. Chief, you know that perfectly well. On the other hand, I am concerned about my parents and my sister. I'm in a fix, but I'll work myself out of it again. Don't make things more difficult for me than they already are. Speak up on my behalf in the office. People don't like hiring salesmen, I know that. People think they earn pots of money and thus lead a fine life. People don't even have any special reason to think through this judgment more clearly. But you, Mr. Manager, you have a better perspective on what's involved than other people. Even total confidence, a better perspective than Mr. Chairman himself, who in his capacity as the employer may let his judgment make casual mistakes at the expense of an employee. You also know well enough that the travelling salesman who is outside the office almost the entire year can become so easily a victim of gossip, coincidences and groundless complaints against which it's impossible to defend himself, since for the most part he doesn't hear about them at all, and only then he's exhausted after finishing the trip, and at home gets to feel in his own body the nasty consequences which can't be thoroughly explained back to their origins. Mr. Manager, don't leave without speaking in well, telling me that you at least concede that I'm a little right." But at Gregor's first words, the manager had already turned away. Now he looked back at Gregor over his twitching shoulders with pursed lips. During Gregor's speech, he was not still for a moment, but kept moving away towards the door without taking his eyes off Gregor, but really gradually, as if there was a secret ban on leaving the room. He was already in the hall, and given the sudden movement which he finally pulled his foot out of the living room, one would have believed that he'd just burned the sole of his foot. In the hall, however, stretched a red hand out away from his body towards the staircase, as if some truly supernatural relief was waiting for him there. Gregor realized that he must not, under any circumstances, allow the manager to go away in this frame of mind, especially if they had developed the conviction that Gregor was setting for life in his first, and in addition, they had so much to do nowadays with their present troubles that all foresight was foreign to them. But Gregor had this foresight. The manager must be held back, calmed down, convinced, and finally won over. The future of Gregor and his family really depended on it. If only the sister had been there. She was clever. She had already hired while Gregor was still lying quietly on his back. And the manager, this friend of the lady's, would certainly have been guided by her. She would have closed the door to the apartment and talked him out of his fright in the hall. But the sister was not even there. Gregor must deal with it himself. Without thinking that as yet he didn't know anything about his present ability to move, and that his speech possibly, probably, had once again not been understood, he left the wing of the door, pushed himself through the opening, and wanted to go over to the manager, who was already holding tight onto the handrail with both hands on the landing in an ridiculous way. But as he looked for something to hold on to, with a small scream, Gregor immediately fell down onto his numerous little legs. Scarcely had this happened when he felt for the first time that normal, general, physically well-being. The small limbs had a firm floor under them. They obeyed perfectly as he noticed to his joy and strove to carry him forward in the direction he wanted. Right away, he believed that the final amelioration of all his suffering